The Friday before Super Bowl.
Well, the Friday before Super Bowl.
Extremely mysteriously, Wendy. Is there a reason for your mysteriousness?
Harry Dinowitz makes me nervous.
I hope that's not true. Please tell me that's not true. Harry Dinowitz is on the line with us right now.
Oh,
WGN's
see?
Own Harry Dinowitz. Harry, you make Wendy nervous. How and why?
I think it goes back to that time when we were together on Love Connection.
Yeah. Yes, with Chuck Woolery.
Yeah. With Chuck Woolery, and that Chuck was all hands,
yes.
And that wasn't good for Wendy or me.
No, of
so
course
sort of
not.
Carries
over.
It's actually angst towards, it's, yes, it's towards Chuck Woolery, but yeah. It's not.
Through
it
you.
It carries over. I get associated, yes.
Yeah, it's associated through you. Well, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that
it
has to
sad.
Happen. Hey, it's strange we've got you on, Harry, because as it turns out, in just two short days, Super Bowl 52 will be played. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it, and they say it's going to be really, really entertaining.
Yep.
It's going to be just, you know, it's going to be great. Yeah, I think it's, what is it? It's like Alabama and Nebraska.
No, Harry, I hate to, I don't want to correct you, but according to my sheet here, it's going to be the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is everybody going Eagles? I know I am because the kicker's from LT. I am so sick of the Patriots.
Almost everyone's actually going Patriots.
Really?
Yeah.
No. 95% of America, Wendy, is with you and Nate. 95% of America has seen enough of Bill Belichick.
Hmm.
I'm just talking
the smiling face of
Brady.
Bill Belichick.
I'm done.
But yeah, well, you know, Brady's actually cool. You know, I mean, you have to, you know, Brady's like, you know, it's like when, you know, when you have taxes and you got to pay him every year. You don't want to. It's not fair, but you got to.
Yeah.
Brady's not a jerk. He's just better than, you know, I am. And so I've accepted
that. He's better than everyone.
He's really good.
He's really good.
What's
he's
the
really
odds
good.
Of us getting him here in Chicago?
0-0.
Oh.
No, but we could
always get Jay Cutler back.
We could. Wouldn't that be something? Harry, yes or no, Tom Brady is the greatest professional quarterback of all time. Yes or no?
No, that's not. You're forgetting Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas is the greatest.
Yes. Tom Brady sure looks like the greatest, and he's going to go for another Super Bowl. I mean, I used to think it was Joe Montana.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I used to think the quarterback from Where's Huddles was the best.
The cartoon series Where's Huddles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Football is such a team sport, so it's hard to gauge a guy like Dan Marino. Dan Marino might have been the best quarterback, but he didn't have like good enough players around him to get to the Super Bowl more than once.
Right.
So I mean, Joe Montana was, you know, Captain Comeback, fourth quarter, three wives. You know, I used to think Joe Montana was the best, but Tom Brady's awfully good, as long as it's not Brett Favre. I still have nightmares about
Favre. But you got
to
be honest, Brett Favre would be in a top five. It would be probably Brett Favre. It would probably be Peyton Manning. Who am I leaving out? Maybe Troy Aikman, maybe?
No, Troy Aikman was a passenger. I mean,
yeah?
they had Emmitt Smith, they had Michael Irvin. And when he used to go to those parties that Michael Irvin threw at the White House,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How long were those?
How come everybody just knows the quarterback? As you're naming names, it's like, yeah, I know those people.
Here's why. Harry, back me up on this.
Yeah.
In all professional sports, the quarterback of an NFL team is the most important position in any team, on any sport, right?
Well, I think you're forgetting jockey, because, like, how would the horse know?
Oh, okay, I'll go there. You're right. Jockey, you're right.
Right?
And then QB.
I mean, you know, oh, I'm coming around the stretch. Hey, what the hell? Which way do I go?
No,
yeah, but you could have the best QB in the world, but if you don't have receivers and you don't have defense, that doesn't mean much.
That's true, because quarterbacks can't throw to himself, but Marcus Mariota did.
Yes, he
which
did.
Which is really, really cool.
Yes, he
did.
Yeah,
so that kind of, that theory is out the window. No, quarterback, Bill, you're absolutely right. Quarterback's the hardest position. I mean, he's got you know how hard it is, like, to come to work every day and remember everybody's names?
Yep.
So he's got to remember everybody's
That's
name
true.
In the entire huddle.
Yep.
And then he's got to remember all the plays and all the goofy names for the plays. You know, they don't just say, okay, we're going to throw a down and out, you know, to Amendola. You know, he's got to go like blue, silver, blueberry Pop-Tart, Jughead likes hamburgers. Wendy's got three knees now. You know, you got to have all that lingo down. I think catcher is probably second because catcher's involved with every pitch and he calls the game.
Right.
And he's got to throw guys. He's got to position guys.
Yeah.
A catcher is so much like a choreographer in a Broadway show.
Wow, there's a lot of pressure being a professional athlete. I just thought, you know, they're good at it. They go out there, they play.
Right.
But there is between. I didn't realize all the plays that had to be memorized.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got to memorize Hamlet, Cat in the Hot
Right, right.
So a catcher is the Bob Fosse of a Major League Baseball team. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So at some point, Fosse was the Bob Fosse of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, you think they're related?
Sports fans, I hope you enjoyed that. Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about.
I said it, and I don't know what that means. I have no idea.
That's so great. And you got a Bob and Ray reference going on.
Very nice. Very nice. What would and wouldn't surprise you on Sunday? What's the thing you expect to have happen, and what's the thing that would really shock you?
I think I would be shocked if Philadelphia did to New England what Atlanta did. Because Atlanta came out, and they just, you know, strangled New England. New England had no offense for almost three quarters. It was 28-3 late in the third quarter. So I would be surprised if Philadelphia, with their backup quarterback, Nick Foles, would come out and, like, just have a big lead, you know, score a couple touchdowns on New England. That would shock me. What wouldn't shock me is if they kept showing Gisele Bündchen in the suite, yeah, no matter what was happening. Fourth and inches, are they going to go for it? I heard a shot of Gisele instead. We'll never know.
Interesting.
Did you see the picture of Tom Brady and his son sharing a kiss?
I did not see it. I heard there was some controversy around
it. Yeah, you should look it up.
There's not controversy.
No, there is.
There is
people
tons
said,
of it.
Everybody, no,
I'm
Harry,
not kidding.
There is. Because no, people
listen,
said the kiss lasted too long.
You got to watch it, first of all, because right. When I saw this, you know, Tom Brady stirring controversy over a kiss, he is having a massage on a table, and his son asks if he could do something. I don't remember if it's, if he could get his fantasy league picks or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Brady says, yes, you can. And the kid walks in and kisses his dad, who's laying on a table with no shirt on and probably nothing on the bottom but a towel.
Right.
Kisses his dad. And again, the kid's leaning over him, kissing his dad because he's on a massage table.
Yeah.
And then he walks away. And then the kid comes back and he hovers against his dad's lips for a while and then pulls back.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I heard about this controversy. I watched the video and I'm like, what are people talking about? And then I looked and it was a little long. And then I remembered how young kids kiss their moms or dads. And it's like you, that.
Show business kiss.
Right.
Kind of. But so there's touching for longer. He's not sticking the tongue in his dad's mouth.
Right.
And it's
right,
like,
right.
It's his father.
Like my grandpa was.
Right. Harry, a good point.
But so they were interviewing people, and people are going, "Yeah, they hovered too long over each other." Oh, he's
Tom
naked
Brady
on the
always
table.
Goes long.
It's a father and a son, and God, you guys just
perverts.
Leave them right.
Yes,
people watch too many episodes of SVU.
Is that what you're attributing it to? That Harry, too much SVU.
Yes.
Too much
glue. Yes, that's why they take a father-son kiss and they blow it out of proportion. And that's why a lot of times my rabbi dresses like Ice T. He just watches too many episodes of SVU.
All right.
That's funny.
It's called Tom versus Time. It's a Facebook series, Tom versus Time.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady and his 10-year-old son Jack are featured. It's several seconds. It's a father and a son. Don't be weirded out by it, but you should look at it.
Wendy, Woody Allen told me he thought it was perfectly okay.
That's not funny.
It kind of is. Did Cyndi Lauper do the music for Tom versus Time?
Yes, she did. She's
yes,
the soundtrack.
I love her. That's a good idea. She should have.
Harry, is the addition of Rob Gronkowski a big deal to the Patriots? He's probably the best tight end in football, or one of them, certainly. We didn't know if he'd play or not because of protocol for some head injuries. Is this a good move or a bad move to put him in so soon?
Oh, no. He's the best tight end in football. And then the second best tight end is Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And then the fourth best tight end is actually on the Eagles, and that's Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. So, Wendy, here's something cool. By the way, Gronkowski has a concussion. How can they tell? Doesn't he always seem like he has a concussion?
Always. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that guy is like at a perpetual frat party.
Yes.
And he had, you know, it's a shame he didn't get to the Patriots earlier. He would have loved being teammates with Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
I don't get that one either.
They were both like frat boys, both of them.
Yeah.
A lot of football players. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So this is kind of cool, Wendy. You know, because I look for like little things, like the story behind the story.
Yeah.
So Zach Ertz, the Eagles tight end, his wife is the star of the USA women's soccer team.
Hmm.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah, so she's going for the gold, and he's going for the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yep.
I like that Aaron Rodgers is dating an athlete with Danica Patrick. I like to see the athletes stick together.
Hmm.
Yeah, who do you think drives when they go to dinner?
Danica, for sure.
You sure?
Actually, Aaron Rodgers' dog probably drives, if you've seen that commercial.
Yeah, you know, now that's kind of a disturbing kiss. Aaron Rodgers and his dog.
No, that's adorable. A kiss between a man and a dog, please.
If you think about it, though, Aaron Rodgers had a lot more successful drives than Danica Patrick.
True. So true, Harry. Very, very true.
Yeah. Darn it, he's right again.
Always right. Harry's always right. There's nothing you can do about it. Is this going to be one of the best Super Bowls of all time, Harry, or one of the worst? What do you think?
I think it's going to be one of the best. I think, you know, if they can get like 74 Bud Light commercials going Dilly Dilly Bar,
yeah.
I think it'll be the best. It should be.
What is that crap? That Dilly Dilly?
I don't know.
Does anybody?
I don't know, but wait till you see the one they do for the Eagles. It's pretty funny.
Oh, you've seen it already?
Oh yeah. Why weren't you at my Bud Light commercial party last night?
I didn't know what was going on. Nobody told me there was one.
Wendy was there. Jasmine was there.
Everybody was there but me.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Everybody was there, Bill.
Are they going to explain the dilly-dilly?
In fact, Orion is still at my house.
Still now?
Yeah.
That's why he was late for the reports.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, I was at the launch party. I've put out a line of sweatshirts that say, Bill Belichick, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Do you want one? I can save you one.
I would like one. Right. I hope they're sleeveless.
Yeah, they're sleeveless. They are. Don't worry.
Don't give him a sleeveless one. Come on.
You look like Chachi. Pre-scandal Chachi, just to be clear.
Right.
So are they going to do the reveal of Dilly Dilly during a Super Bowl commercial? Because it's really driving me nuts.
Yeah.
We don't know what it means?
I don't know.
Oh, they're going to do a reveal.
Harry seems to know more than he's letting on.
They're going to do a reveal.
That's fine.
That's smart.
I don't know.
They've been leading us on for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I've been there before.
Wow. It got a little warm in here, Harry. I don't know what happened. You had to crack a window.
I don't know either. By the way, I Surreal Neil was great when you guys were on, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Doing the Bill and Wendy show over at Mornings 10 to Noon on WGN.
Oh, thank you for that.
It reminded the Neil Diamond tribute band, Super Diamond. Wendy, I don't know if you know this or not. Bill will remember, but I used to have a failed tribute band.
What was your failed tribute band here? I don't remember.
I had a tribute band for Helen Reddy.
Yeah.
I was, I called myself Delta Dusk.
You did?
And it just,
I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, I sang Leave Me Alone, and all the crowd did. It was bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I opened with Angie Baby, and it was so great.
I'm sorry I missed that.
We could all sing Angie Baby.
Well, she was a special lady living in a world of make believe. Yeah. Well, maybe.
It's you know what when you're you know it's a really nice place to go.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Send Orion back when you go home, Harry. Please send him back. We need him here at the station, and we're glad that you think Sunday's game. I'm sorry, will be a big one. It's the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl 52. You can listen to Harry with Mark Harmon. What are the hours on the weekends, Harry?
We'll be on from 4 to 7, and we're talking about Wendy Snyder at 4:23,
I'll
at 5:09, and at 6:15.
That's a lot of references.
Wendy, Mark is like so. People tell him all the time that he sounds good or they like him, but no one's ever said that he reminds them of an attractive celebrity before.
Right, Andy Samberg. I told him that Andy Samberg came out at one of the awards shows.
Yep.
With Reese Witherspoon.
Right,
and he had glasses on, and I looked, and I'm like, oh my god, that looks just like Mark Harmon.
Yeah. A more Jewish Mark Harmon, you said.
I didn't.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say that.
Who's Jewish?
I thought Reese Witherspoon looked just like Mark Harmon.
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah. Harry, thank you for spending some time with us. We appreciate your pre-Super Bowl analysis.
Yeah, it was in depth.
Yes. That's what it was. It was in depth.
It was understandable. I enjoyed it. So thank you for that.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, and Wendy, here's something, you know, at some point you might want to point out that shade of jersey the Eagles are wearing, that's called midnight green.
Midnight.
Yes. Right. Yes. It was originally Melissa Manchester's first choice of song title, and she went to Midnight Blue.
Midnight Blue was it ended that way. Harry, thanks a ton. Have a great weekend. Yeah.
You guys.
Go Harry.
On.
That's WGN's own Harry Tynowitz. We'll come back and find out what Judy Pilek has for us in the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Jude, thank you for the news and for not swearing during the rest
You're
of the
welcome.
News. That was very professional of you, I felt.
Took all my might not to swear.
There's a video that we've been seeing all day on television, and it's been reported on the news about this guy who was in the courtroom for Larry Nassar's case, where he asked the judge to just give him a minute alone in the room with the guy, and then at some point he charged him, and it took a bunch of court officers to hold this guy back so he wouldn't attack Larry Nassar. All I can say is I so totally get it.
I do, too.
Don't you?
And I totally understand it. I'm surprised someone hasn't gone for him before.
Yeah.
I know we can't act like that. You can't. You just can't.
Right. It's not a world of animals where you just go at each other's throats.
But you understand the emotion behind it completely.
I so understand it. And I think so. It was not one but two of his daughters, right, that were abused by Larry Nassar. So, I mean, if you're sitting there and you're listening to these testimonies and just go, this monster destroyed lives. I mean, we saw so many people go up there and say, so many women go up and go, I can't have a normal relationship now with a guy because of what you did to me. And it was just awful to hear one after another, these lives that were ruined by this creep of a guy. So if you're the father of one of them and you hear this, you go, yeah, enough of this. So he'll sit in a cell for the rest of his life. Let me at him. I totally get it.
Well, prison's probably not going to be any better.
They will not be kind
for
him.
No. Generally, that's what happens to people like him.
Yep.
Which, you know, it surprises me, and it does surprise me, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with it, but it surprises me that the moral ethics of the prisoners just will not stand for someone who's hurt.
Ethics.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a pecking order in jails where even they decide that that's so low, even amongst us, that we want to take care of business in the jail.
And like I said, I don't know that to be true because I've never been to jail.
Knock on wood. That you want to discuss
yet
on the air.
All right. To both of you, there's my middle finger.
I get it.
But I don't. This is all I know about jail is because of movies.
Right.
So, I mean, I know that we see that depicted in movies.
No, it's just like in Stir Crazy. It's exactly like you've seen in Stir Crazy. It's exactly like that. Well, I watched it a few times this morning, and it's playing now. Somebody's running the news.
It's
if you haven't seen this footage, and if you're a parent or have any empathy at all, you just, even though it's so awful to see a grown man just going, I got to get at this guy. At the same time, you're going, if I was in this guy's place, I'd probably be doing the same exact thing.
It's raw emotion that sometimes you cannot control.
Right. And I said downstairs, what if this guy had said to the judge, give me a minute alone in a room with this guy, and the judge goes, you know what? Yes, you get it.
We'll
60
tack that
seconds
onto his sentence.
That's fine. Let's do that.
And I know that this doctor was looking like he was showing remorse. And
he was crying during much of the testimony.
Yes, and I don't care that he was.
And you never know. Is it remorse or is it self-pity?
Or is it,
poor me, because look,
I got caught.
I got caught and I'm going to jail.
Yeah,
right.
That's,
these people are.
Right. I brought that up before because it's like
you don't know.
But I don't care either way. I want to see him experience some kind of pain, especially when these numbers went up and you hear of what he's done. And this sounds terrible, but he was doing some things to the girls, not getting anything really in return, which just bothers me more and confuses me more. And it's not like a couple of people. It got up to, 256 people? How does that happen?
Yeah, without...
Unbelievable.
without
there being
someone,
checks and balances. Yeah. Yeah.
And did you hear the story about some girl who years and years ago reported it and said, hey, he's doing it, and everybody just went, no, he wouldn't do
well,
something.
Well, yesterday, that was a town in Michigan. The town apologized yesterday, basically, the police chief.
For not believing.
And they admit it. Yeah, they did. They did check it out. They went and talked to him, and his explanation seemed perfectly logical.
What was his explanation?
It was
part of
a medical procedure that involved sometimes this and that, and they bought it. It seemed plausible, and
really?
Well, and if it maybe, that's how stuff gets slips through.
Right.
One person complains, maybe another person didn't complain, or if they did, they didn't complain to the same person, and I don't know.
So what's the number? What number does anybody who investigates these things go? Well, I could see one or maybe two going awry, and you got to look the other way, I guess, if that's the case. It doesn't feel right, but if that's what happened, it was an exam. But at what point, number-wise, do you just go, wow, these are really starting to pile up?
Oh, well, I would say at number one, too.
Well,
but you're right. Number one, no other complaints.
Right.
The guys, my gosh, this is the problem. He was so revered almost.
Right.
I mean, worked at all these excellent places, and sometimes, when kids, I think adults just dismiss what kids say.
Yeah.
We teach our kids what to look for, what not to do, and then we don't believe them sometimes,
right.
Which, it's a very, very difficult thing. Because, a lot of times you hear the stories about, especially kids with they have such open minds that sometimes, things can be planted.
Right.
Or they think something happened, but it really didn't. I mean, that happens to us. Sometimes you think something happened and then you second guess it.
There's an instance at an elementary school where my youngest kid was going, and he was saying that the principal was, not fair to him. And honestly, we're like, suck it up, go back to school. And then his homeroom teacher was not very nice to him. And we're like, really? Come on. I mean, I know this teacher from our other son. She's great. I will tell you, there were two instances. One where my husband went back to school with Dylan, and the principal was really unfair and blaming Dylan for something he didn't do right in front of Jim. Now, if Jim didn't see it, we would have continued to say, go back to school. I mean, we went to the superintendent. This was so bad, being accused of something he didn't do. And then the homeroom teacher, I had to pick Dylan up from the Robert Crown Center because I didn't know at the time, and I went to pick up my kid and said, what happened? Why do I have to pick him up? Say no to drugs. He needs to hear this, And the teacher said, well, he was kicking so-and-so's chair, and I asked him to move, and I said, wait a minute. He was kicking, or another kid was kicking Dylan's chair, and I asked Dylan to move, and I said, wait a minute. Excuse me, but why did you ask Dylan to move? And she said, I don't question my decision. And I said, well, I'm kind of questioning it right now. I mean, he wasn't doing the kicking. Yes, but usually he is. And I said, but he wasn't this time. And I took Dylan home, and I had I not seen that. And I thought, maybe she's going through menopause since my last kid had her. Maybe it was just a bad day. But it was like, I truly, neither Jim nor I believe Dylan. And I feel ever since that day, I will never doubt a kid. I will investigate it because kids can make things up to make it look better for them. But that's the last time I ever doubt my kid.
Yeah.
I was shocked,
it's difficult,
you guys.
Right? Unless you see it, it is difficult. And our first reaction is always, you're going to school.
Exactly.
And if you get hit, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I couldn't believe it.
There was, while I was playing Little League, I played Little League for 8 years. There was this coach that I never had as a coach. But any kid that ever had him as a coach would tell you bizarre things he would do with the players.
Sexual things?
Yeah, like he would check for cup. Like, are you wearing a cup? Come here, let me see.
Every coach did that with the bats.
He didn't use the bat.
Oh.
He would use his hand. So there was a bunch of things, little practices that he did.
Okay, either one is totally inappropriate, but go ahead.
Extremely inappropriate. So over time, I'd think to myself, what if I ever had this guy as a coach? I wouldn't want to play on his team. But then I'd also say, this has just got to be like legend or hearsay. They wouldn't let a guy coach like this. But then guys that were I was really close to would have him as a coach, and they'd go, oh, it's worse, the things he does to us and stuff. And he coached for years. He didn't have a family. He wasn't married, no kids, just this single guy who'd come in and love the sport of baseball and spending time with the boys and stuff. And I'd always think to myself, How is it? I was a kid going, this is so this is so wrong on so many levels. Why does this continue?
Don't you feel like we as a society sometimes let that stuff go a little bit?
Yes. I don't think
but
that happens
now. We won't, you know, God forbid you go online and say something bad about someone's dog or,
right.
You know what I mean? Other things that are so ridiculous and not important, we are in an uproar about. But
right.
For some reason, when it comes to like the sexual exploitation or abuse,
it slides through somehow.
Because, yeah, and I.
Because you can't believe it and we.
Right.
We
and you don't want to believe it.
That is true.
And it's so uncomfortable, the subject, and it's just, you just want to dismiss it.
Yeah, I guess.
But we teach our kids, respect adults, respect your elders, respect, you know, the teachers, the administrators.
Right, right.
And they should.
Yeah.
But when there's something untoward, and now, Bill, I'm just questioning, these were good friends of yours. Did you ever say anything to them? Like, have you told your parents? Because I can't, A, imagine they would say something to their dad. And if they did, I almost feel like the dad would go, oh, come on.
I'm envisioning the parents being there saying it.
It became, both kids and parents, like a like his name was used as a euphemism. Like, you'd see guys come over, and they'd take a baseball bat, and they'd feel the bat, go, let's see if this is the right size bat for you. Who am I doing? And everyone would guess, oh, it's Coach and
Johnson.
His last name. It's Coach Johnson. Yeah.
You got Johnsoned.
You got Coach Johnsoned.
No pun intended.
But it became almost, it's like the darkest joke of all that his
that
name
everyone
became,
was in. On and no one did anything?
I don't know that anything ever, because, you know, I grew out of the league. He was still coaching when I grew out of the league, and I don't know whatever became of him, but every once in a while I'll bring up his name to somebody and they'll go, oh, that guy.
It's like the priest, the whole sexual abuse of the, you know, sometimes it just takes it has to just go to the very bottom for it to just finally bottom out, I guess, and you know, it's a weird thing. It's a weird human nature thing.
Right.
I bet through history, the history of time.
That this has been going on forever.
Yes, things like this, these really important, so important, sensitive issues that just don't get addressed the way dumb, you know, unimportant stuff gets addressed.
This is what I feel really bad about, and I can't speak for every parent, but I can speak personally, and I bet this relates to a lot of people. A lot of times, I wouldn't bring something up to an authority because you will feel stupid if you, like, you know, are there saying, well, my kid said this, and then they find out that the kid's been lying to you. You feel like a jerk. So I think that prevents us from questioning people. It won't anymore, but I'm telling you, if I didn't see things with these administrators with my own eyes, to this day, I wouldn't believe it. It's like, you know, authorities are always right.
Yeah.
You respect them. And I would find it hard to go to a school and go, listen, my kid says that you did this to them.
But when the numbers are so voluminous, like I get it. If there's one kid, you go, it is a one word against another person's word. And that's dangerous because what if they're embellishing or something? But once the numbers start to pile up, even though it's possible for everybody in the school to just pile on something like that, I would pay it some credence. I just go, there's got to be something here.
Right, yeah.
I think even one kid, a parent has every right, and from this day forward, I believe it and I will do it. Even one kid, if they say something, don't you think a parent has a right to say, I'd like to schedule an appointment with this particular teacher and say, here's what my kid says. I know kids embellish, but I need to make sure this isn't true. How do we make that happen?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, when it comes to sexual abuse, you need to, even if you have doubts, you need to say it. Let them investigate. You know what I mean? Let them investigate. But you need to put that doubt somewhere so someone else also has it or it has an awareness.
Yeah, right.
Because if you don't, that's how it slips through the cracks.
Right.
For 256 people.
Why didn't anyone tell us about the coach? Right. Now, in this case, I do believe it was, if not unconsciously, it was swept under the rug because it was a big deal and it involved gymnasts.
That's
involved
disgusting.
The Olympians. Yes. And I was saying this, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of the girls didn't complain and there again, they didn't, that is in itself a travesty because they didn't complain because they felt so compelled about, you know, my God, I gotta get to the Olympics. I gotta do this. My parents are counting on
pressure.
Me. Yeah, the pressure. And that is that's even more horrible.
But we have that going on now too. The massive pressure to succeed and be better than someone else.
Parents have spent so much money and I don't want to be the one to, so I mean, it was just this, on so many fronts, it was wrong. You know, so thank God
So do you think when there's a cover-up, do you think that somebody high up comes to either this Nasser guy or the one that it always baffles me is Coach Sandusky, Jerry Sandusky, because there was so obviously a cover-up. Does somebody come to these guys and go, look, there's a lot on the line here, and your name keeps coming up. You got to either change your ways or resign or do something because this isn't going to end well. Does that conversation ever happen, or is it
now? It will.
I think so. Yeah,
I think it did in the past.
No, I think in the past it was, hey, we were getting these complaints.
Right.
You know, our football
calm down for a
program
while.
Program is so awesome. Come on, dude. We love you, and I know they're not true, even though you might have a nagging suspicion that it's true.
Yeah.
That's where I'm saying.
Because then you clear yourself
egregious thing.
Yeah.
You have a suspicion, but you can't prove it. And so instead of doing the right thing, which is until we can prove it one way or the other, you're out.
Right.
You say, keep going and come on.
Yeah.
Let's not let any more of this, of these stories get out there. And let's, that to me. So it's not, cover up to me, I've seems a little bit strong.
Yeah.
But really,
acceptance.
It is a cover up.
Whether it's subconsciously or consciously, it's because, well, look at all these people that might be affected by that and the school and, oh my gosh, and the money and the program. And yeah, so it's, well, what's more important? Always.
The reputation is much more important, it seems.
But I always go back to, this is my mantra, you know, right and wrong. Okay. It might be important, but is it right? Is it wrong?
There is a definite line between right and wrong.
Yes, there's no gray area when it comes to this.
Room.
If there's even some suspicion, my God. So now, but like I said, it takes time.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Terrible. It takes something so huge like this to happen. It's the whole thing with the women's movement too, I think. We put up with it. I did. Why did I put up with it all those years? Because sometimes you need the numbers and the power and the timing to just all coincide.
The numbers meaning just that you weren't the only one. That you might. I'm sure there are plenty of women, or in this case, the case of Sandusky, it was guys. I'm sure that for a while they singled me out. I don't know if anyone else is experiencing this, but as time goes on and you find out more and more people have had this happen, maybe that's the impetus to go and do
something. Or you're empowered and you're thinking because, you know, you complained and nothing happened. So it must just be me. But now, it's, you know, empowerment is huge. And that's why I feel like now with these athletes, with Nasser, they're just... And the same with the women's movement. It's the empowerment of now I can finally stand up and be strong.
Right, right, right.
Because for whatever reason, you know, what we just talked about for the past 10 minutes, you couldn't, and now you can.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes too long.
Yeah.
And you don't, like in radio, and again, I'm not a hashtag Me Too person because I was not sexually, I had no issues other than people said appropriate things to me and I would inappropriate them. I mean, I did it. I dealt with it.
We should do the hashtag inappropriate.
Right, because I'm not, you know, I have no major issues at all other than I shouldn't have been treated that way. However, you didn't want to say anything because, like, just starting out in radio, you start thinking, oh, well, it's a small kind of incestuous type of business and somebody's going to tell somebody else. No radio station's ever going to hire me.
Right. Or, well, I can't say anything because there's a girl right there who will take my job in a heartbeat because she doesn't care.
She accepts it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
So you just learn. I mean, you learn to read
the
signs.
Yep.
And terrible, 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 but that's just the way it is.
My parents, from the time I was really little, taught me that if somebody ever touches me inappropriately, to let them know or somebody important know right away. Was that unusual? Don't most parents tell their kids that?
But then what happens when your uncle touches you? And you love your uncle. And you know your parents love your uncle. And your uncle's always over.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one else is saying anything. And you ask your sister or brother, is Uncle Bob?
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And see how it's just like a vicious circle. I mean, it just...
And kids have this pressure
that
it's their family. They don't want to cause a rift in the family.
Exactly. So even though they've told you that, you're like, but do they really mean it? Do they really... But I don't know.
But maybe parents should specify, regardless of who it is, no matter what they tell you, you have to report this.
Now,
you
see,
have
my
to let
parents
us know.
Didn't tell me that.
Mine they didn't either.
No.
So that you could be, yeah, no, mine, they just, no, it wasn't an issue.
No.
I don't think they didn't, it wasn't on purpose. It was
right.
Like, well, no one talked about that.
Yeah, I guess.
Now we talk about it.
Our pediatrician, I'll never forget with the boys, it's a female pediatrician. They still go to him. Michael's 18 and he wants to continue going to her. She would say with me there, you know, listen, guys, if anybody touches your privates besides mom, dad, or me, please let someone know.
I know. Don't you love when they say it?
But it's
like,
mom, dad, or me. Yeah. It doesn't say uncle. It doesn't say aunt. It's like, if anyone other than mom, dad, or me touch you, say something.
Right.
Say something to your mom or dad.
Yeah. And I love now that if, you know, your kid has a little bruise or you break
they
your arm.
They question it.
And they should.
How'd you get this?
Yep. And they should, with the parent out of the room. And
right.
I mean, I am so all for that. Thank God for the medical community and how they've stepped up.
Yeah. You know, they still.
Except in the case of Larry Nassar.
Yeah.
They have asked me in my last two medical examinations if anyone has done anything. I'm a semi-adult and have been for years, but my last two medical examinations, the doctor has said, has anything inappropriate happened to you? And I both times I just stopped and went, that's so interesting that I'd
did
be asked that question.
Did you have a toy in your hand at the time?
No, not at the time. Put it down.
Well, what do they mean?
They mean, has anyone done anything, you know, in a
maybe that's
improper,
like a domestic abuse or something.
I guess
that's
so.
Good. That's,
yeah.
I've not heard that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't remember ever having that asked to me.
That's kind of weird.
During the exam
but I
before.
Like it.
Yeah. I know, right?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't lie to doctors. I mean, you know, I never lied to a doctor when I smoked. If they say, do you smoke? Yes,
you say yes.
I do. I have heard people say, you know, well, I don't tell my doctor I smoke. Well, then you're an idiot.
Right, yeah. The one person you should tell.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't lie to a doctor.
Don't lie to any doctors.
You didn't tell him I hit you, did you?
I didn't tell him.
Okay.
I didn't tell him.
Well,
I told him you smoked.
He probably
Wendy smokes.
Not anymore.
I'd walk in with that.
Not anymore.
Guess who smokes? Wendy does.
Good girl.
Judy, thanks for hanging out. We'll find out what Adam Hoke has coming up on Sports Central next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.